This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters now. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
This is Janet Mefford Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it.
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Mefford.
Thanks so much for joining us again. What does it say about a society when it's fine with exploiting mentally disabled people by having them participate in a lewd drag queen event merely for the entertainment of the masses? Well, I think it says God is increasingly giving people over to a depraved mind, just like Romans 1 indicates. This matters because a group called Drag Syndrome, as we've told you, is set to appear September 7th at an art event in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And yes, this event is all about parading around people with Down syndrome dressed up as drag queens. Now, the good news is that the owner of the venue where this was to take place has now refused to let it take place there in his building. But the bad news is that organizers say they will still do the Drag Syndrome event just at a new venue. I want to play a very short news report about it now from Wood TV. Listen to Cut One.
We told you about Drag Syndrome earlier this month. The group will still perform September 7th on the first day of Project One by Art Prize, just not at Tanglefoot. Disart, the local group facilitating the show, says Peter Meyer couldn't approve the performance. He owns the Tanglefoot building off of Straight Avenue. Meyer is the grandson of Meyer Store's co-founder, Frederick Meyer, and a Republican candidate for the congressional seat currently held by Justin Amash. He sent a letter to Art Prize, which reads in part, "The differently abled are among the most special souls in our community, and I believe they, like children and other vulnerable populations, should be protected. I cannot know, and neither can the audience, that the individuals performing for Drag Syndrome are giving or are in a position to give their full and informed consent. To that end, I cannot allow Drag Syndrome to perform at Tanglefoot."
Okay, this is great, right? And yet they're still going to be performing on September 7th. Listen to this reaction from the group Disart. This is Cut 2.
Disart pointed out that this is the first time Meyer has been involved in approving or denying a show at his building. They also gave us a statement saying, "We are deeply saddened, angered, and appalled at the decision to exclude Drag Syndrome from a venue they were given. Disart will protect the artists of Drag Syndrome by protecting their rights. There will be another venue announced soon."
Ah, no good. They're appalled. They're appalled? We're appalled. What is it with this drag queen thing? And why should Christians care? There is a lot more to it than you might think. So we're going to unpack it today with Peter LaBarbara, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Peter, welcome. Great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Janet. Every time I'm on, it's bad news.
I know. But you always leave us with hope. You really do. I appreciate what you do because you're all about the truth. This is good. You were the one actually who alerted me to this development that this wonderful Peter Meyer, praise God for him, said, no way are you going to trot a bunch of drag queens who are people with Down syndrome through my building. I'm glad to see this. Talk a little bit about this because I know that you have some personal experience with Down syndrome yourself. I just wanted to get your reaction.
Yeah, when I saw this, Janet, I was just outraged to the point of anger. I have a younger brother with Down syndrome, and he's the most wonderful person. He's everybody who meets him loves him, and there's an innocence about Down's kids. And this is pure exploitation. I mean, there's not a mental capacity to fully understand the implications of what's going on. It's cruel, and I just think it also illustrates that there's no bottom to the depravity of the so-called LGBTQ movement, in which the last alphabet name, letter Q, appropriately stands for queer.
Right. So is the reason that they're doing this because they are trying to do an intersectionality thing? What is your sense of why they would even want to take people with Down syndrome and parade them around as drag queens? It is cruel, but what is their motivation here?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. There's the intersectionality of the left now folding disability in as if it was just another identity. And we see this is how the left operates. Now they're going to take and exploit people with handicaps and even mental disabilities and make them part of the so-called LGBTQ movement. Also, I think at root of this, Janet, is the born gay myth, in which the left insists that a set or in certain proportion of society is, quote, gay or bi or trans, or insert your perversion there, a certain percentage is, and therefore a certain percentage of handicapped people are also homosexual. That's part of it as well. It's this whole mythology that the left has created and that the media just echoes. And Janet, if I could just say, if you notice, the original coverage of this by that Grand Rapids news station didn't even quote an opponent of the so-called drag syndrome. They just had the people themselves.
So yes.
The media doesn't even see this as the controversy, like the average human being would see this immediately. There's something wrong with this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they interviewed people from this group, DisArt, these gay activists, who see this as just a wonderful development in disability drag. And I'm thinking, really, honestly, how depraved can you get? And how in the world can you look at these poor souls and think that they even have the capacity to understand how they're being exploited here?
Right. And let's remember, let's take the big picture from up high about what drag is. Drag is one of the ways by which the gay movement and gay activists sort of laugh and mock normalcy. And women, especially, Janet. I mean, yeah. If blackface is wrong, which it is, making fun or belittling African-Americans, why is it okay to construct these gaudy stereotypes mocking women? Why is that okay? And so then you're going to take it a step further and involve people with a mental disability in that mocking of women and that the contempt for normal America.
Well, that's an interesting point, because you never see any of these guys dressing up as, you know, in like a plain house dress with a bun and sensible shoes. I mean, they're always with boas and spangles, as if all women walk around dressed like that all the time. It is a total caricature.
Yeah, and you don't see him mocking Muslims either, do you?
No. I mean, no hijabs at Drag Queen Story Hour that I've seen.
Yeah. I haven't seen any rainbow colored hijabs, maybe because they know they might get shot if they did that. But I mean, there's this whole camp history in the camp humor, which is basically laughing at the culture. And this is a sort of a cruel version of that, in my view. I mean, I can't say it enough. Downs kids and adults, they're sort of angelic. There's just an innocence to them.
Yes.
And it just pains me to see it exploited like this.
I know. Well, this is a good development that Peter Meyer, God bless him, said, you can't have this at my building. But it is disturbing that this DisArt group says we're still going to hold the event on September 7th. What do you make of that?
Well, we're going to protest it, and we're calling on them to just cancel this event. I mean, this might play in England, Great Britain, which has really just gone whole hog for the agenda. In fact, I think the gay agenda is a big part of the moral downfall of the UK. I mean, don't you think that, Janet? It's incredible how given over they are to the LGBTQ agenda. So maybe that plays in London. That doesn't mean we have to tolerate it here in the United States of America. And I hope that this Peter Meyer, that there's 100 more or maybe 1,000 more Peter Meyer businessmen across the country who can actually stand up to this evil instead of cowering before it like the typical businessman does.
Exactly. And he wrote such a wonderful letter, and you heard an excerpt of it there from the clip that I played, where he said, we don't even know if these people are giving consent. Well, of course they're not giving consent. They're not able to give consent. That's insane. And you know, this is really becoming a bigger and bigger issue. As you and I know, Peter, and listeners may have heard this as well, Mass Resistance has just uncovered a third drag queen at one of these library story hours who is convicted of prostitution and has all sorts of lewd and lurid posts on social media. And they went to the Austin City Council. This was in Austin, Texas, and tried to get these things stopped. And they basically, you know, Austin, you know, keep Austin weird. We're all about being weird and liberal. And they basically looked at these people and they said, yeah, who cares? We don't really care. Well, they might care if something happens to one of these children criminally, wouldn't they?
Yeah. And Janet, another point on that. The whole thing of, you know, this drag syndrome and the drag queen story hour, Remember, this is just the latest exploitation of children.
Yes. Hang on, Peter. We're going to pick up that point on the other side of the break because we do have to pause. You're listening to Janet Mefford today. We'll be right back. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
From Affirm Films, Provident Films, and the Kendrick Brothers comes Overcomer. John Harrison is a frustrated coach questioning his value until he crosses paths with a student struggling on her own journey.
What have you allowed to define you? When you find your identity and the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective. You say I'm
loved. Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shirer. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now play. More information is available at overcomermovie.com.
If you're a medical professional, here's a way to move from success to even greater significance. Mercy Ships has an urgent need for pediatric registered nurses. You'll be joining dozens of volunteer medical professionals who've been blessed by the opportunity.
I think all nurses should do something like this. To serve the unserved is one of the most beautiful experiences.
Get more information by visiting mercyships.org/nurses. Mercy Ships, bringing hope and healing to the world's forgotten poor.
We're back on Janet Mefford today. My guest, Peter LaBarbera, president of Americans for Truth about homosexuality. And we are talking about these drag queen developments, these story hours that are popping up at all these different libraries across the country. And it's great to see the work of groups like Mass Resistance exposing some of these drag queens for the sex crimes that they've committed. And I guess these local libraries and city councils in many instances, Peter, it just kind of shrug. I guess in Houston, when they uncovered two predators who were reading books to kids, Houston shut it down. But it looks like Austin doesn't care that its drag queen was convicted of prostitution. That's a big, who cares? We'll bring them in, read to the kids. What's the big deal?
Yeah, well, let's look at how the left and the liberal culture has just accepted drag queen story hours as the latest iteration of gay. And it just keeps getting worse and worse, and they keep accepting it, and then pretty soon the businesses support it. But the point I was making before the break was, you know, we have to put this drag queen story hour and this drag syndrome in the context of a homosexual and transgender movement which has been exploiting and indoctrinating children for decades. Remember the book Heather Has Two Mommies,
yes.
Janet?
Yep.
That book is more than 25. I think it's probably close to 30 years old now. This has been going on for decades. And with regard to Down syndrome, I remember one of the hardest things about having a sibling with Downs is, and if you have, you know, other children in the family and even your own children, is seeing them get passed up by the younger children. Hmm. Downs kids obviously just learn slower and much slower, and you see even young children pass them at a certain age in terms of intellectual capacity and such. And so you're seeing in this case these innocent people exploited, but it's the same issue as very young children being exploited. Drag queen story hours are an indoctrination event which were created by, I believe, a woman who wanted to affirm her own. She was living, I can't remember, she was bisexual or lesbian or whatever, transgender, but I think her name was Michelle T.
Yes.
And she wanted something for her own child. And so you basically have bad parenting and parents trying to affirm a sinful and perverse identity in the lives of their children. It's very grotesque, but this is what it is.
It is. There's actually a website. People can look it up, dragqueenstoryhour.org. And I was reading the about portion of the website, and it says Drag Queen Story Hour was created, as you said, by Michelle T. and Radar Productions in San Francisco. Big shock. It started out as drag queens reading stories to children in libraries and grew into a global phenomenon. It offers literary and creative programming for kids and teens of all ages, led by drag queens, kings, and creatures all over the world. And then they have a whole list of the towns near you that will have drag queen story hours coming up. It's all across the country. You know, the thing about this is, I think there was a very good reaction. There was a story in the Christian Post from a clinical counselor by the name of John Uller. And I just want to read a little bit of this for the listeners, Peter, and have you react to this. But he has worked clinically with about 4,000 serial predators for over 11 years. He says the Drag Queen Story Hour events constitute the greatest grooming program ever devised. He said they are taking advantage of the communities to see what the resolve of the communities will be. And he said, if this is allowed to proliferate, you will have predators targeting these communities where they tolerate it. He sees through it, having worked clinically with these sex predators, over 4,000 of them. Why aren't we heeding the words of experts like this?
Well, it's, I think, mainly because of the so-called mainstream media and mainstream society, which is all to the left now and all embracing. And they feel like there's almost a religious zeal, a religious fervor behind the LGBTQ movement. It's like there's not even question anymore. So, you know, I saw this when I went to one of the homosexual events where they had men dressing as dogs. They put on a dog head and they'd be dogs. They call it the puppy play movement. And the media, some media treated it as a serious thing rather than even poking fun at it.
Right.
So it has become like a religion to liberals, the LGBTQ movement. And every June you hear people saying, they don't even say happy gay pride anymore. They just say happy pride.
Yes.
That's their holiday. And so we're seeing this sort of ideological commitment, which doesn't allow questioning, even on the most basic points. I would love to see more honest liberals say, you know what? This is a step too far. You know, reading books that are going to promote gender confusion and confused identities to children who don't even know what sex is yet, to toddlers, using picture books, that's a little too far. But yet you don't hear those voices because there's a rigid conformity on the left to all things LGBTQ.
Well, it's interesting as well because he made the point that these sexual predators and offenders prioritize convincing people to doubt their instincts and to think that their red flags are nonsense. So you're seeing what you're seeing, you're appalled by what you're seeing, and yet they're trying to convince you there's nothing to worry about. You're hysterical, you're a homophobe, you should not be worried about what is screaming at you right before your eyes. It's all a big trick. And you know what? It feels like this entire movement has been a big trick on society, Peter, and it's almost as if it's gone so far, people don't have the will to stop it because now they're scared of these activists.
Yeah, it is one of the biggest cons that's ever been perpetrated in America, and it's built on one lie after another lie. But remember, Janet, they don't mind if the kid turns up to be transgender, just like they didn't mind if the kid turns out to be gay. Of course, they never said, they always argued, oh, you can't make somebody gay. They're either gay or they're not, which was strange because they also used the term questioning. That was part of the, you know, gay and questioning or
yes.
Bi curious. Well, if you're either gay or not, why would you even be questioning or what's bi curious? So they always heaped contempt on the idea that you could actually influence somebody to embracing homosexuality, which is ridiculous. Of course you can. You can influence people to becoming homosexual or now transgender. All of these are happening and people are growing up into these identities. And then now you're seeing women having their healthy breasts removed in their 20s or even their teens because of the influence of the transgender activist movement. It's got a lot of blood on its hands now, and there's going to be a lot of deviant adults who can trace it back to this powerful LGBTQ movement and all their liberal allies.
Yeah, it's so disheartening. And I don't know if you saw David French over at the National Review last week. There was a little firestorm there because he was basically trying to say, well, you know, free speech, what can you do about the drag queens? And people are saying, if you cannot see this for what it is, then you just need to hang it up at National Review and stop writing. because this is not about the First Amendment. This is about predators and sex criminals, potentially not just grooming kids, which we've already seen a drag queen in Louisiana openly admit at a city council meeting that they're grooming. I mean, he said it flat out. I've played the audio before. But in this spirit of libertarianism, you even have people who are purported conservatives saying, well, you know, I mean, we're not going to be free to do what we want to do if we don't allow the left to do what it wants to do. And it's all in the name of the First Amendment. What do you say to that kind of logic or lack thereof?
Well, here's what I say. Look what they're doing to the ex-gay movement.
Yep.
And where are the libertarians? I don't see libertarians out front saying, hey, you've got to stop these laws which are banning ex-gay therapy. Yeah. And of course, ex-gay therapy, remember, this is God forbid my son were molested by a homosexual man. And let's say I had a 10-year-old boy when he was 10. If he were molested, I could not take him in several states now in the United States. I believe it's like 13 or more. That's many, many states could not take him to somebody to say, look, you're not gay because you were molested. That would be banned in several states.
Right.
And that's what the left is doing. They don't care about our free speech. They don't care about freedom at all. They care about their agenda at getting it done and exercising control over the populace.
Well, that's a really good point. There are a lot of conservatives who are staying awfully silent about Amazon, as we know, banning the works of, you know, various Christians and Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, the deceased father of gay reparative therapy. You can't even buy his books on Amazon now. Joe Dallas, Ann Paul.
Jana, we both know the conservative movement has gone AWOL in the fight against homosexuality, and
sure,
it's a real travesty.
Yep.
It's a travesty.
Is it just because they want votes? Do you think that's what it is?
It's
We've lost?
It is the most politically incorrect thing you can do, maybe outside of Jews for Jesus. I mean, look at how big the fight is. Oh, we got to fight the transgender movement, but they seem to say, oh, gay marriage, well, that's over. You know, that's done. Well, why don't the gay activists think like that? When they lost the first time on gay marriage, which people forget, they lost at the Supreme Court on a Minnesota case. A Minnesota homosexual couple tried to get homosexual so-called marriage passed in Minnesota. When they lost that one, they just set upon another strategy to build power to win it back. Whereas when we lose, it's like, okay, let's give that one to the left and let's preserve this next item. And then when we lose that one, let's preserve the next one. We're always backing up.
Well, and it's kind of like Congress, and why I think Trump won. This is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but it does pertain to what you're saying. When you talk about Congress and a lot of the congressmen and senators who are on the Republican side of the aisle, so many people in their base were frustrated. We elect you to go and fight these liberals, and you get up in Washington and you start talking about bipartisanship, and bipartisanship always ends with the left winning. It never ends with the left conceding a point and going the direction that Republicans and conservatives want them to go. It always ends with Republican compromise. I think that's exactly what fueled the Trump victory in 2016. People had it with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and Trump has taught Republicans to fight. Unfortunately, because Trump has hired, for example, his gay ambassador to Germany, Rick Grenell, Trump is now pushing for the acceptance of sodomy worldwide, to ban anti-sodomy laws worldwide. And we've got to get that turned back. That's just should not be part of the Trump agenda.
Oh, completely. But it would take somebody with a spine of steel to make that a centerpiece of his campaign if he wanted to get elected. I'm going to fight the gay agenda. I mean, can you imagine what sort of things you know what you go through on a daily basis with these activists. Can you imagine what would happen to somebody brave enough to push back?
Yeah, but Peter Meyer did it, and I got to commend him. This is wonderful, and we just need more people. I think the homosexual movement has, you know, the support is a mile wide and an inch deep.
Yeah.
They're just not used to people saying no.
That's it. We're going to take another break. Peter LaBarber with us. We'll come back on Janet Mefford Today right after this. This Janet Mefford Today podcast is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG, parental guidance suggested, in theaters now. More information is available at overcomermovie.com. Welcome back to Janet Mefford Today. My guest is Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. AmericansForTruth.com is his website, AmericansForTruth.com. Deuteronomy 22:5, a woman shall not wear a man's garment, nor shall a man put on a woman's cloak, for whoever does these things is an abomination to the Lord your God. Deuteronomy 22:5. That does not seem to be a very popular verse these days, Peter, when we're looking at the drag queen story hours, drag syndrome, hauling out these precious souls with Down syndrome to parade around in boas and spangly costumes. And thank the Lord, Peter Meyer up in Grand Rapids, Michigan said, no, you're not using my building to have this event, but we'll see. It's supposed to take place September 7th and there should be a new venue. And you, I know, Peter, are going to be protesting this event. But what about what the Bible says about dressing up as the opposite sex and why God says that's an abomination?
You know, it's clear, and it, just like it's clear on homosexuality, but so few people take the Bible seriously these days, especially on these culture war issues, you know, but we have to. And, you know, if you look at the whole movement, let's remember that drag goes way back in the gay movement. We're talking about the 50th year anniversary of what I say it called the in-your-face gay movement, Janet, which is the Stonewall Riots. I think we talked about that on a previous show.
We did.
And there were drag queens there. I mean, there were transgender, you know, because it's a confusion of the relationship between men and women. That's what this whole movement, that's the broken, the shoddy edifice that it's built on, confusing that. Just like gay, I mean, think of the audacity of the gay movement. It said, no, we are going to live by a different set of rules than the rest of humanity. We're men and we love other men. That's unheard of. That was taboo, but they just said it loud and proud, and they started saying, we're here, we're queer, get used to it. That's their words, not mine. They said, we're gay. They got in people's face. They started, quote, coming out. Who else, Janet, who else comes out proudly in their sin? Think about that.
Right. No, we don't have an adultery parade.
They're not coming out into the open. They're coming out into darkness. They're going into spiritual darkness when they come out. And now we're seeing the same tactics used by the transgenders. All they're doing is copying the successful tactics of the gay left, and it's working. And I predict you're going to see the same people now who are fighting the transgender movement. Who knows what percentage, 25, 30, 75% of people, even Christians, 20 years from now will say, well, you know, we have to accept transgenderism, and maybe they'll be fighting pedophilia by then.
Well, let me pause for a moment, because I want to play a couple of cuts. You know about this interview, Peter, and I played some of these cuts earlier when it occurred back in June. But Jonathan Merritt, who many people know was involved in a homosexual scandal not too many years ago. He is the son of James Merritt, who was the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He's a progressive. He's about as left as you can possibly go on everything. And he writes for The Atlantic, and he wrote for Religion News Service. And he's not the nicest guy out there either. But Jonathan Merritt did an interview on Fox News. And on the other side of this debate was Arthur Schopper from Mass Resistance. But I want to play some of what Jonathan Merritt had to say about the drag queen issue, because these are the people on the left who are trying to affect evangelicalism and move evangelicals to the left and get them to be more progressive. And he's all in on LGBT everything, of course. And here he is. I want to play this cut. Jonathan Merritt saying, oh, the fact that the drag queen story hour was invented in San Francisco doesn't really matter. Listen to cut three.
To me, where it began is really irrelevant. I think the question is what's happening in these events now? And I think you have a lot of people who are upset about it. They're upset about it because, and your guest, I think, articulated that perfectly, that they're disgusted by certain people in society, by the LGBT community, by drag queens, who, by the way, are not always a part of the LGBT community. And they feel that their children will be contaminated if they come into contact with these people. I think that's not a mainstream view. I don't even think many conservatives, I don't even think, agree with that anymore.
What in the world is that all about, Peter? So basically, if you're a parent, you're worried about a drag queen with a possible criminal record reading stories to your little kids, you're the problem.
Yeah, it's really funny to hear Merritt talking about what is and what is not mainstream.
Yeah.
When we're talking about grown men dressing up in gaudy costumes with mock, insulting makeup that insults and mocks women, all women, reading storybooks to toddlers, and he's lecturing us on being out of the mainstream. And this, notice the language, contaminated. He's trying to make, again, he's making the side of good seem, it's just Isaiah 5:20 in just a different form. Good is evil and evil is good.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, and they're not always part of the LGBT community. What does that even mean? What does that mean? How are they not?
We're talking about drag is the LGBT community.
Of course.
I mean, that's what it comes. I mean, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And by the way, so many of these people had very tragic circumstances in their lives. I'm talking about the drag performers. I'm talking about the transgenders and homosexual men. There's a lot of dysfunction and sadness in the lives of these people, which I think contributed to this false identity that they've embraced later on in their life.
Right. Now, I want to play one other cut from the same interview. Again, this is Jonathan Merritt, the son of the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, who's all Mr. Progressive LGBT activist himself. He is all on board. He thinks there's nothing wrong with the drag queen story hours. This is from a June interview back on Fox News. And you can hear Arthur Schopper from Mass Resistance groaning in the background. That's who you're going to hear in the background. But listen to cut four.
Well, if you read these stories, if you read the stories that are coming out about these events, and you listen to the individuals who are actually reading the stories who speak for themselves, they're saying, we were looking for a way to give back to the community. We are entertainers. We dance, we sing. We make merriment in various establishments, but we were looking for a way to give back, and they wanted to pour into the children of their community. These events are voluntary. Nobody's children are being forced to go and sit in front of a drag queen and listen to a storybook. They're going there because they want to give back to their community, and I think in the United States of America, anyone should be able to do that.
Yeah, well,
oh brother.
Okay, we just want to give back to the community and make merriment, don't you know, Peter? We're giving back.
Giving back to the community for the children.
For the children.
It's all about the children. That's why we indoctrinate them in all our perversion, because it's the children we care so much.
Yeah, and you know, something else that really soothed my soul in that cut was when he said that no one is being forced to go. Oh, I'm sure the two-year-old woke up and said, Mommy, please put me in a rainbow bodysuit and take me to see the weird man in the boa. I mean, really?
Well, that's an important point, Janet. That's a very important point. This points to the tragedy of gay parenting and trans parenting. It's just like the gay pride parades. When you see now at these parades, you see thousands of children sometimes at larger parades, at least hundreds of very young children who are seeing all of the fornication and the body displays. I went to a pride parade in New York City where they had the F-bomb written on the shirts, and a guy strutted by in a jock strap and nothing else, hardly in shoes and sneakers, right past a child looking on. I mean, these are what the homosexual parents and their allies are bringing. They think that's appropriate for children. And that's actually abusive to children to expose them to such depravity at such a young age.
Well, right. And even if the parents are not gay activists or gay themselves, you have parents who are just on the left and they think this is all very progressive. I'm not going to turn my child into one of those homophobes that everybody hates so much. My kid is going to be progressive. He's going to love everybody. Love wins, right?
Yeah, right. So we're seeing the problem with progressive parenting. Yeah, because there's a lot of straights who are actually more pro-gay than homosexual activists.
Well,
I mean, you're right. It's an ideology now, and they don't care about the innocence of the children. They think now this is a good, and it's okay to promote homosexuality to children. It's the same thing when you hear parents say, well, if my kid comes out as gay, I love that. I mean, they're almost like bragging that they would want to have a child who's gay, who's homosexual, grows up homosexual. It's just very sad to see how far our society has fallen from the truth.
Well, that is absolutely the case. It's almost as if those parents who are saying what you just mentioned are rooting for it. And that why it doesn't even make any sense other than the fact that we're back to the same thing, which is we don't want to be seen as homophobes. We're going to come back. Peter LaBarber with me. We'll return on Janet Mefford Today right after this. I like to read, and whenever I can, I like to read the Puritans. John Gerstner once said that the Puritans constituted the greatest movement in the church since the days of the apostles. That's quite an endorsement. I'd like to recommend a publisher committed to the writings of these godly men. It's called Northampton Press. Men such as Jonathan Edwards, Thomas Watson, Jeremiah Burroughs, and John Bunyan are just a few of the great preachers they've put back into print for us. Many of these titles have not been available since the 1600s, but now they are in print. These books have been retypeset, slightly updated for modern readers, and printed in such a way as to last hundreds of years. I can personally recommend them to you, having read many of them myself. Mention Janet Mefford in the comment section of the order form and receive a free copy of the book Law and Liberty, A Biblical Look at Legalism with any purchase. For more information, visit their website at northamptonpress.org. And remember, it's NORTHamptonPress.org. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to your health care? As a Christian, are you looking for health care that doesn't violate your morals and convictions? Well, we're happy to inform you that there is a solution, and that solution is Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of like-minded Christians who work together to pay for their medical costs. It allows you to decide how, when, and where you will access health care so you can make the best choice for you and your family. Starting at $199 a month for a single, up to $529 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids. This is how healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-585-4237 or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com and regain control over your healthcare costs. 855-585-4237 or lightyourliberty.com. Together, we're changing healthcare for good. We are back on Janet Mefford today. Peter LaBarbera, my guest from Americans for Truth about homosexuality. You can check out his website, americansfortruth.com, and he writes and does so many great things over there. Peter, always great to read your stuff and talk to you on the air. You know, a few months back, people will recall, Peter, that we were part of a conference called the God's Voice Conference, and we held this in Oklahoma City. It was a response to the Revoice Conference that was coming into the church. You immediately, I know, saw this for what it was, that you have activists who are trying to change the conservative evangelical churches from within to push us toward acceptance of homosexuality and all of this other stuff and gay theology. There was a particular thing that just happened, and I wanted to get your reaction to this. Living Out is this ministry in the UK. It was co-founded by a few men, one of which was Sam Alberry, who is an editor at the Gospel Coalition. Ed Shaw was another one. He's also a co-founder of Living Out. And Living Out was the first group, actually, that endorsed Revoice and said, we heartily recommend it. And this was how we even got wind of Revoice in the first place. Well, Living Out has had an increasingly visible tie to the Gospel Coalition. And Ed Shaw did this interview with the Gospel Coalition in Australia just recently. And this was one of the quotes that he had from that particular interview. He said, I want young people to know that Jesus is the one person that they can fully trust with their sexualities, identities, and gender, because he is both their creator God and a human who knows what it is like to grapple with a sexuality. Now, this is rot. I mean, but again, I think it makes the point, as we're talking about drag queens and the push to normalize all this stuff, you have another wing of this that is coming at us full force inside the church. What do we do about it?
Yeah, and they're buying a lot of the assumptions of the so-called gay movement, the one of the most fallacious being orientation. Right?
Yes.
What does that, why was that term orientation chosen? And to a lesser degree, or the same, gay. It implies sort of that's your natural way you are. Whereas, I mean, it's a sinful temptation. You don't hear men talking about their lustful orientation. You just don't hear that. You only hear this in the context of gay. And that's why it makes me suspicious. And I think I talked about this at our God's Voice conference, Janet, of, you know, the language people on the so-called gay Christian side talk about, like people like Alberry, they want to use
gay affirming language, and that and the language confuses people in their thinking.
Well, it really does. And I didn't even get the full quote here. And I want to add on to this, because when he's talking about you can, you know, trust Jesus because he's your creator and a human being who knows what it is like to grapple with a sexuality, identity and gender. That's blasphemy, Peter. That is implying that the perfect holy God of the universe is struggling the way Ed Shaw does with his homosexuality. It's so blasphemous, I don't even like saying it on the air. But it has to be said, because they're now moving from, oh, well, we're for celibacy, and now it's this garbage, all the way going to blasphemy and a heresy in order to create a new generation of Christians who are going to think the loving thing to do is to buy into LGBT activism. That's the real Trojan horse of it, isn't it? That the LGBT activism, it's a big Trojan horse going right into the heart of the church.
It is a huge Trojan horse, and it has worked in larger culture, and now it's being implemented in the church. And of course, it's also a lot of false sympathy, Janet. If you can buy into the identity and that's who you are and all these notions, and then isn't one of these leaders saying that he wants to, this is a single so-called, a Christian man who says he has a gay orientation, wants to adopt a child? What is that all about?
That, isn't it Sam Alberry? He's the one who talks about the idolatry of the nuclear family. That's another narrative that they're pushing on the church, that if you know, if you have a mom and a dad and a couple of kids, there's something wrong with you. That's an idol in your life. That's baloney. That nowhere does God say that.
Yeah, they're trying to create a space for what is, at its bottom line, LGBTQ advocacy. And a big part of that is buying into the idea of orientation. It's who you are, which is why, I mean, look, I was banned from Revoice Conference. I just wanted to go and attend, but they said I couldn't come after I paid my my registration. And then Stephen Black, who has a wonderful story of overcoming homosexuality. He was molested by a man when he was a boy. He overcame that. Why would Nate Collins, the founder of Revoice, and other organizers want to disallow somebody with a hopeful Christian story like Stephen Black from their conference? That alone tells me that there's something very wrong with their movement.
Well, because they don't want anybody putting out there that you can change. I mean, they love to talk. And Nate Collins finally blocked me on Twitter. I was so happy. I was finally like, it took you long enough, Nate. But I was putting out there, Nate Collins.
Like, man up, Nate. It's just a debate.
Come on, Nate. What's the problem here? But I did a little dig at him when he was at Revoice back in 2018, and he likened himself to the prophet Jeremiah. And are we sent as God's prophets to the church? And I'm like, give me a break. Quit abusing and twisting scripture. But he likes to dwell in the area of talking about grappling and struggling with sin. And somebody went on Twitter this week and was making the point that, listen, we are told to put to death our sin. It's not just a matter of eternal struggle. And it doesn't mean that we will cease struggling from sin altogether while we're here on earth, because it's Romans 7, obviously. But that's where they want to stay. That's where they want to live. They want to live with, it's just messy. It's a messy situation, and we need to grapple.
I think they need to redefine sin, and they need to redefine Jesus.
Yes,
and that is the big heresy of the homosexual movement.
Yes.
If it's not really as sinful as the Bible would make it seem. After all, the Bible talks about homosexual behaviors, right? There's nothing in the Bible that would affirm the idea of being gay, as the other side uses the words, or orientation. There's nothing to that. So you have to change the notion of sin, and then you have to change the notion of Jesus. And it's really dangerous, because I think there's a lot of too much, you know, too much sympathy can be a sin even of itself.
Good point.
We don't sympathize with other sins like we seem to sympathize with homosexuality. And my heart goes out to people who are struggling, trying to overcome, but the overcomers that I know don't seem to want to embrace that identity of gay. They want to get past that. They want to say that's in their past. That's their old life. They're a new creation outside of gay. But whereas these guys want to talk about their gay orientation, and I don't get it.
Well, Ephesians 5:12 says it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. And what's weird to me is that it's kind of a self-help way that they talk about it. I was living in shame, and I just want to come out and talk, you know, I'm not going to be shamed anymore. Well, wait a minute. God does have shame for a purpose. I mean, if we feel ashamed of our sin, whatever our sin is, that has a good purpose, and that is to turn us to repentance. And
right.
That's what's missing. They're embracing shame as if it's something to be proud of. It's so messed up, Peter. I can't even really take it.
And then the next step is going to be, I deserve, and we're already hearing this,
oh, yeah.
I deserve the right to love.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and then from there, it's, well, I deserve a monogamous relationship, just like, Janet, you have with your husband,
right.
I have with my wife. And it's always incremental. That's how we've seen the LGBTQ movement move every step of the way. They said at one point that they didn't want, all they wanted was tolerance. Now they're trying to ban ex-gay therapy for people under 18, and from there it's already gone on to adults.
Sure.
Because they want to make it illegal to even talk about overcoming homosexuality. See how they work? It's always incremental. So that's why we know that this is a dangerous movement within the church, because they're not going to end up where they are now.
No, and they're deceptive about it. You have California, for example, trying to put through this non-binding resolution that tells churches and pastors that they need to stop telling people that they can change. Well, where's the separation of church and state when you need it? But we know that that's just an incremental step toward reintroducing legislation like AB 2943, in which they basically say, you know, the Bible is fraudulent and you can't use material that would tell homosexuals that they can escape the chains of bondage. And this is the thing. This is coming at us so fast, Peter. We have got to just, I think, double down on our efforts to remind Christians, don't move an inch. Don't move an inch. Stay on the Word of God. Stay with the Word of God. Don't be swayed by the culture on this drag queen stuff. Don't be swayed by this Revoice narrative. Don't be swayed by this Down syndrome drag queen stuff. We have got to be wise as serpents and yet innocent as doves.
Yeah, you have to stay the principle, faithful to principle, excuse me. And we have to remember, like the pro-life movement, you know, there was a time when being pro-life wasn't as easy as it is now.
Yes, that's
right.
And
there was the Joe Shidlers of the world who were out there who were testifying to the evil of abortion. We have to keep testifying to the evil of this movement.
Very good.
And we have to also remember that transgender began at gay. We're in the 50th anniversary of the gay in-your-face revolution.
Yes.
And this is just part of it.
Thanks, Peter. Thanks so much for being with us. Peter LaBarbara, AmericansForTruth.com. This hour, Janet Mefford Today is brought to you by Affirm Films and the Kendrick Brothers movie Overcomer, starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire, rated PG. Parental guidance suggested, now playing. More information is available at OvercomerMovie.com.